I'm the kind of person that the best way to get me to do something is to tell me that I can't. If you tell me that I can't, then I'll kill myself trying.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me here on the Quick Talk Podcast. As you know, my name is Joshua Latimer. I'm a small business person just like you, and my job is to help deliver value from my brain right into your brain, stuff that you can apply immediately after listening to this show. Now, I'm joined on the line by Thad Eckhoff. Now, Thad has a pressure cleaning business down in Mississippi, but more importantly, he is the founder of the Huge Convention. He's the mastermind behind this entire gigantic event, and I'm excited to talk to him about the history and how this came to be and all of that. Thad, how are you?
Doing great. How about you, Josh?
Sounds like you're doing good. I'm doing good. I started off the morning. I actually got interviewed on a different podcast. That was fun. And then I killed a scorpion that's about 5 inches long while I was getting interviewed on the wall in my office. Like, it was terrifying. So I'm trying to keep my composure.
And you murderer.
There's no doubt that I'm murdering scorpions where I find them. So anyway, that you're like a deep south country kind of bumpkin guy, right? Like, those are my people.
Yeah.
I got family from Louisiana. And how did you get into the pressure cleaning business? Tell us a little bit of your background.
Okay. Well, I had a corporate job. Worked in an office, ran an office, ran a mortgage brokerage, and just got really sick of it. And took a summer off, and never went back. Kind of. Have you seen the movie Office Space, where you just decide not to go anymore? I just decided not to go anymore, but it needed to do.
But what about your bills? And then he goes, "Well, you know, I never really liked paying bills. I don't think I'm going to do that anymore either."
Yeah, well, married with 3 kids, I did not have that option. So, I started I worked for a couple friends of mine had service businesses, and I thought they were nuts for doing it. But during that summer vacation, I worked for one of them and decided, you know, I'm going to start a service business. I want to do this. Like, after I was away from the 60, 70 hour a week grind and got a little mental clarity, I just realized, I don't want to do that anymore, but I had to do something. So,
and you've had Apex for over 10 years now, right?
Yeah, I started it in 2004 and then really 2005, got serious about it.
Well, there's tens of thousands of people that have businesses like yours. What the heck made you want to start some sort of a convention event? How did that evolve? Why does this exist? Give us the history of that.
Oh, because I was too dumb to know that I couldn't do it. And then when people started telling me that I couldn't, then made me kind of stick my jaw out and do it anyway. When I first got involved in the pressure washing end of things, I went to a couple of events. And the first one I went to, it was well organized, but was in a freezing warehouse in the middle of winter. And I only heard like the first one or two talks because it was colder inside the warehouse than it was outside in the 20-something degree weather. So I went out in the sun to warm up, and I met some guys there and got talking. That was my experience there. People found out that I lived in the New Orleans area, and they're like, "Oh, we love New Orleans. You should have something down there." And it just wasn't something that appealed to me. I went to another event, and it was basically 20 or 30 people sitting in a very small hotel conference room listening to a large person just go on and on and on and on and on for hours. And after that day, so we got talking, and somebody found out I was from the New Orleans area, and you're like, "Oh, you should have something like this in New Orleans." And I thought, well, you know, might not have a big, amazing show, but I can do better than this. So yeah, let's do it.
You saw a need.
It was just that it was so bad. I figured, hey, and I'd made some friends at that point, and they were like, "Look, let's just have a tax deductible reason to get together in New Orleans." I'm like, it can't be this bad, so let's do it. It wasn't until after probably the second one that I realized that there really was a need, because I checked out some other things, and they all just kind of sucked. You know, they just kind of did. And I realized that I came from a background in corporate world of having to go to trainings and conferences and conventions, and you actually learned things there. So I knew it was doable, and just saw where there was a hole there for people to actually learn how to run a business successfully and do better in what they were doing. So then I got a little bit more serious about it. I realized, okay, you got a chance to do something. It would be wrong to to not take it.
So it sounds to me, correct me if I'm wrong, but it started off very small. It sounds like you were trying to go to some events to educate yourself for your own service company.
Yes.
You didn't think they were good. They were boring. Something was off. So you said, what the heck? Let's get some guys together and we'll drink beer and talk about business.
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. It would have been so much easier for somebody else and I asked other people like, hey, could you do, you know, would you have a good one? My life would have been much less complicated if somebody else would have done a good event that I could just attend. You have no idea.
Yeah. Well, I imagine, I mean, at this point now, the last few years, the thing is humongous. So we're speaking to the very, very beginning. And when was that? Like 2008, 2009, the very beginning of the small events?
Yeah. Yeah. I started it. I decided to do it in 2007 and immediately started catching flack from people, some people who were doing the sucky events, you know, getting phone calls and yelling at me, telling me that, you know, I was rocking the boat and like, well,
I didn't know there was a boat. I didn't know that there was a single boat to ride.
Apparently there was. And I'm the kind of person that the best way to get me to do something is to tell me that I can't. If you tell me that I can't, then I'll kill myself trying.
Well, I think that's a trademark of all entrepreneurs. I mean, we all are a little bit stubborn, but the bottom line is that this event now, it's a large event. It's really been a game changer in the industry. And my take on it, I have never attended lots of other events or anything. I just haven't. In other industries, when I was in banking, I did, but not in this industry. But what's cool about the huge convention to me is the focus on the back-end business side of our business, not just the technical side, not a bunch of guys talking about pressure cleaning parts and PSI and zero degree tips and whatever else, but rather focusing on how do we build a business? How do we create a team? How do we scale?
Exactly.
How do we build an entity that we could sell? And everything that goes with that. So give me a brief understanding of how you transitioned from this small event in New Orleans to what it is now, because this is a massive undertaking and it's going very well for you guys. How did that happen? What happened between 2008 and now?
Okay. I'll make it as brief as possible. The New Orleans event did not start out as a pure business building event. It was very similar. You know, it was this along the same lines as what other events had been, the same types of topics. Just, you know, we weren't awesome. We just sucked less. And then my focus was on the business part of it. I mean, you can learn how to wash something pretty quickly. So the focus shifted to just a business building event. And honestly, it was completely selfish because that was what I was interested in. And so what I did was build an event that I wanted to attend. I've had the kinds of things that I wanted to learn, had the kind of speakers that I wanted to hear. And I figured it would attract like-minded people and it would be okay. I would at least be hanging out with people who, you know, had a similar mindset to me. It grew, that took off. It grew. We ended up limiting it. So it became the small exclusive event. You got in quick or you didn't get in at all. It was limited to 75 people and it was a small, intimate, and kind of a next level event compared to anything else. When you started the reason I did the convention was Chris and I started the PWRA, and PWRA members wanted a convention. So I'm like, hey, we need to do a convention. And he said, absolutely not. I said, but they really want a convention. He said, yeah, conventions are terrible. I've been to so many of them and they're a huge waste of time. They're all terrible.
So when did Chris get involved? Because just for the listeners, most of them know who Chris Lambertini's is. He is the co-founder partner guy of the huge convention. I mean,
yes.
What did he bring to the table when he got involved? Because I know he wasn't a believer in it in the beginning because he didn't like all the other events. And he said, I don't want to do some dumb event, you know, right? How did you get him on board?
Yeah.
And what has changed since he's been a part of this?
I guess I got him on board by struggling through the first couple of years. When I did the first one, it was, you know, we thought it was going to be relatively small. When I would call vendors to get them to come, as they said, well, they would say, well, how many people did you have there last year? I'm like, well, this is the first one. And most of them would immediately hang up on me. A few were like, some, especially the ones that had, you know, known what I'd done before, we're like, well, how many people can you get there? And I told them 100. I knew I could get, you know, I could have 100 people there. So a few vendors rolled the dice with me and we had a decent trade show. Ended up with over 200 attendees, which which is a positive problem. And then the next year, with a little bit of success behind us, it grew very much again. The trade show grew and the attendance grew, but I'm not the most organized person in the world. I'm the broad strokes guy. So it was really taking a huge toll on me mentally and also physically. I mean, waking up at 2 a.m. in the middle of the night with the cold sweats, worrying about paying the six-figure convention bill that I had signed for, you know, that's not good for you. But after the second year, Chris was more involved the second year. And then he saw, I'm thinking he probably did it just out of pity for me, but he's a master of organization and building systems, as you probably know. Mm-hmm. So he started systemizing the convention. So now there's pretty much a way to do it in place. It's much more organized. And that's what allowed us. Him putting his finger on it was what got us over 500 attendees last year. There's no way I'd be capable of doing that on my own just because I don't have the vision for it or the organization. So when he jumped in, it's like, okay, if we're going to do this thing, he said, if we're going to do this, it can't just suck less. It's got to be good.
Well, it is good. It's very, very good. And I think the word of mouth really takes it too, because I'm not trying to be cheesy or overly dramatic, but I've heard from a lot of people that this event's literally changed their life. It's changed their business completely. People that were going to go out of business, people that were just done, and in a last attempt, they say, oh, I'll go to this stupid thing and see, and they go, and it's like their eyes are opened. But you're right. You know, I want to circle back. You know, it costs hundreds of thousands of dollars to put something like this together. Like, people have no idea. It's ridiculously expensive. It's risky. And if you're going to do it, I know Chris, he doesn't do stuff unless he does it big. You just got to go for it. And one of the reasons, and tell me if you agree, that I think your event is cool is because there's a cost to do it. You know, this event has a ticket price attached to it. And it's not run by a bunch of volunteers who kind of half-heartedly put together a 30-minute presentation. You have dynamic, powerful speakers from all over the country coming in and converging. You have people that paid good money to show up at this. And I think that dynamic alone changes the whole game for the convention. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Number one, yeah, if I knew that if I was going to do a convention, that it couldn't be the typical convention venue, you know, the Holiday Inn out by the airport and Podunk, Iowa. It had to be big, and the place itself had to be a destination. So that's why I chose the Gaylord Opryland. I've had several vendors tell me that we draw a completely different crowd from the other stuff that they go to. They said that the people that come to the huge convention are business owners, and they're not afraid to spend a little money to make a whole lot more. They're looking to invest in their business, not just show up for the free drawings. So those are the kind of people that I want to hang out with. Those are the people that I want to, you know, spend time with so that I can learn things to make my service business more successful. If I say better crowd, it sounds really bad. So I'll say a more professional and more progressive crowd. Business owners, not employees. Does that make sense? I'm treading lightly here. I'm really treading lightly and choosing my words carefully because I don't want to be too direct, and I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings.
Well, I think what you're saying is this convention attracts a certain segment of the market. It attracts a segment of people who want a real business. They don't want a job. Yeah. They don't want to own their own job. They want a business. They want a business they can pass to their kids or sell someday. They want to make real revenue without doing everything themselves. And it's not an easy thing to do. And so they gravitate towards people like themselves. I mean, people like us, Thad, we want to do something special. We want to do things big and we want to win. And people at the huge convention, they're all people. Maybe they're small, but they want desperately to win at business. And I think that's why they show up.
Yeah, a lot. You know, the vendors appreciate the fact that a lot of the people who do come, you know, it's not a cheap event to attend. I mean, tickets are only a couple hundred bucks. That's not crazy. But then you have to get there. You have to have a place to stay. It is an investment. You know, it's not free. There's an investment involved. So my job is to make sure that anyone who comes there gets a positive return on their investment, because this is, like you said, it's a business. It's not, bunch of volunteers with no accountability. It is an actual business, and the way that you keep your customers is to make sure that they get value for their dollar. They get a positive ROI. So we have people who it's not much of a burden for them to come because they do have very successful businesses. I mean, we put a lot of people with seven-figure businesses in a room. But what's even cooler, I mean, that's great, and they want to learn how to, you know, add a zero, and that's awesome. But the ones that really get me, it's the guys that aren't there yet, the guys that they say they can't afford to go, and so they couldn't afford to miss it. I heard people have come to this convention and slept in their car. And there was a guy there. He didn't say – he let somebody sleep in his closet. because – he could not afford a room and was going to, but he was so determined to be there and to learn from people who had already done what he was going to do. He said he was going to be there no matter what.
Well, that's incredible. I mean, that's a great story. And that kind of person, by the way, just his mentality, forget about the convention. People with that type of mentality can't permanently fail at anything. I mean, you can't. You might struggle. No. It might be hard. People like that win. That guy's a winner because that is what it takes. Like that's the thing that's hardest to find in people. It's the X factor. The guy that will, you know, take back bottle returns and get a ticket and sleep in their car just to educate themselves. Those are the Howard Partridges, who is on welfare and now has a $3 million business. Those are people like Michael Dahlke, who I know is speaking at your event, who have, you know, a multi-million dollar business. It started with nothing, with a blue collar family. Those are the types of people that go to this thing. It's in a powerful, yes, incredible environment, Thad. I just want to thank you for putting it together.
Well, it's my pleasure. And those stories like that make it all worth it. And you're right. I do have people, you know, sometimes tell me that, that it changed their life or that it saved their business or the fact, you know, one guy told me that it saved his marriage because it was, and it's not me. I'm not the superstar. I'm just the kid whose parents are out of town. And I throw the kegger and invite all the cool kids. You know, that's my. I don't take any personal responsibility for the education and the life changing stuff. I make a place for that to happen. So that's really my job.
Well, here's the last question, Thad. Why should people, if they're on the fence about this, if they've been to other events, if they don't have the money, whatever? Why do in a couple sentences, why do they need to get down to the huge convention this year?
Well, if they're not super serious about improving their business and making it more successful, then they shouldn't. You know, it's not an event that you just come, you know, skip the classes, meet everybody at the bar and hang out. I mean, yes, you can do that. And I'm sure there'd be people who do, but come if you want to attend the classes and if you want to learn from people who are super successful in their businesses. They're there to learn. They not only teach, but they're there to learn. And if you, whatever your goal is, I mean, some people want to have 20 trucks on the road and maybe they've only got 10 and they want to double it. Maybe they got 5 and they want to quadruple it, or maybe they only got 1, but they have that vision of 20 trucks on the road. Or it could be the guy who just wants a small, super, super profitable business. Whatever your goal is, we want to help you reach it and put you in contact with people that are doing what it is that you want to do. So much easier to follow someone else's path than it is to forge it. That guy that slept in the closet, he's going to make it one way or the other. But, you know, if we can shave a few years off of his learning curve and give him a few less sleepless nights while he's on his journey, that's a pretty amazing thing to be able to do.
Yep. And I can guarantee you one thing, Thad, is the guys who are small and they're stuck and their business is flat, the reason it's stuck has nothing to do with them needing to understand the newest technique of washing a house or cleaning something. I mean, it has everything to do with them not understanding how to be an executive of their small company and understand the back end business side of stuff. And your convention can give people a major leg up in that. I thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to talk to me. I'm excited to get this out to people so they can hear your heart and why you started this and get kind of an inside look. at the, how this thing came about, because it's a big thing and people are talking about it all over the place. So thank you, Thad.
Thank you, Josh.
Let me ask you a question. Are you even remotely considering going to the huge convention this year? Well, if you are, I've made a special deal for Quick Talk listeners. You're going to save $50 off the ticket price. Now, everybody else is going to pay normal price, but not you. Go to thehugeconvention.com/QuickTalk and you save $50 right off the price. Now, remember, this is not a cost, okay? It's an investment. This event is absolutely incredible. The second thing I want to announce to you is the new release of The Growth Vault. Now, The Growth Vault comes from all the requests I get from people wanting coaching and training and how do I get this webinar and this teaching you did 6 months ago and what about these special interviews you do, Josh? I want to learn. I want to grow my business. I put everything into one repository. It's totally free. There's no cost. Go to thegrowthvault.com. There's loads of content on business building, automating, scaling, and building a business that you could sell. Check it out right now. Completely free. It's my gift to you. Thank you so much. Hey, thanks for hanging out, friends. And from all of us here at the Quick Talk Podcast team, we hope you love today's show. We hope that you were inspired to become a doer and not just a listener. Apply what you've heard today in your own business and watch things change for the better. Lastly, remember that all the money in the world can't save your soul. Seek first the kingdom of God, my friends. We'll see you next time.
For more information about the Quick Talk Podcast or Joshua's other businesses, visit our website, quicktalkpodcast.com. Have a blessed day.